All right, I've started the recorder. And we are ready for NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which in my Kindle is on page 293. Where is it in your paperback? Same? 293. Okay, good. All right, here we go. An empty shell has been emptied, and it knows itself as empty. A shell that has not been emptied knows its own thoughts. Do not fear the thoughts that are in your mind. Do not fear that they do not belong there, and so you are guilty. The thoughts in your mind seem to come to you of their own accord. You are not to be judged guilty for this. So this is something that we talked about last week. The thoughts, they just appear. And, you know, again, if you take the thoughts personally, you know, some thought could show up. They could actually be even a pretty dramatic or a pretty drastic thought. And if you think it's your thought, you know, you could feel really horrible for having such a thought in your head, right? But what this is saying is, you know, these thoughts just show up of their own accord. You know, you're not guilty for the thoughts that show up in your mind. And one symbol that has always helped me is the symbol of the world as a script, with each person being a character in that script and seeing the brain as just a teleprompter. This is just where your lines come in, right? And if you believe you're a character, then you're going to believe your lines and you're going to suffer from them, you're going to act out from them, you know, all of that. But if you realize that you're not really the character and you realize that the mind is just a teleprompter, it becomes then very easy to start just ignoring the teleprompter because you no longer see yourself as the character. You don't want to play the role as the character. And Danielle and I sometimes, of course, you know, we live together, so, you know, we know each other really well. But sometimes we joke about the Danielle character script or the Regina character script, you know, because there are just certain things about Danielle and certain things about Regina that are just there. Like one little thing about me is when Danielle and I go for walks, she can be in her flip-flops and I can be in these shoes, which, you know, very similar types of shoes, but I always get rocks in my shoes. And every, you know, so often I have to stop and take the rocks out of my shoes, and she never has to. So apparently the Regina script gets rocks in her shoes. What's something about you, Danielle? Something, anything?
I don't know
either right now. Or I'd share if I did, but my mind like went blank. But
I can't put dishes in the dishwasher.
That's true. She can't put dishes in the dishwasher. You know, and what we mean by that is, you know, they're like if you put dishes in really efficiently, you can get a lot of dishes in. But if you don't put them in very efficiently, you can only get a few dishes in. Well, Danielle just hasn't got the dishwasher puzzle figured out. You know, so her script is just not able to put dishes in the dishwasher in a super efficient way. And every one of us, if we got to know each other really, really well, we would see these things. But these things, the way I see them is, they're just a part of the personality script. It's just the character. Like if we were all going to sit down and write a book, we'd write a character with certain idiosyncrasies, you know, like Mr. Magoo is a character, right? And he has, you know, you all know Mr. Magoo. And so that really helps me not to take my thoughts, the thoughts that show up in my mind personally, is I see Regina as a character, and the thoughts that show up in the mind are just the teleprompter for the character, right? So it's helpful for me.
Experience.
Yeah.
That's all it is. It's just experience.
Right. Absolutely. And there are certain things that, you know, even if we all become enlightened, there are going to be certain parts of the character pattern that are going to remain in place until this character is laid aside, or as we say in this world, dies. You know, I told Danielle, I said, you know, she may never be able to put dishes in a dishwasher. Who knows?
And who cares?
And who cares?
She does it perfectly how she does
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Well, I think this is one thing Danielle has learned by living with us, is I think that, you know, for all of her little character idiosyncrasies, she used to judge herself. She thought she was bad for all of those idiosyncrasies. And what she's learned now by living with us is that she's not bad. They're just there. Right? In fact, we laugh at them. We have fun with them in our house. And all of us. You know, Jasmine has hers. I have mine. Right? The average person sees these things as faults, right? You're not supposed to get rocks in your shoes and have to stop all the time. You're not supposed to, you are supposed to know how to fill up a dishwasher, right? And I'm annoyed with you because we always have to stop and take rocks out of your shoes. And I'm annoyed with you because you can never fill up the dishwasher. That's when we believe the scripts. When we don't believe them, it's actually all just enjoyed and laughed at, right? Yeah. So starting with sentence 7. Practice is the answer until you know yourself to be an empty shell. You will find times when you remember to look at your thoughts and notice that your mind is full. That is a time that you are being invited to practice clearing your mind and becoming as an empty shell. So before we turn the recorder on, Lynn gave us an example of this. Lynn was talking about using the Course in Miracles daily lesson to clear your mind. So your mind may be focused on some story, you know, some problem in the family, and how are you going to resolve this problem? And then you notice how full your mind is thinking about this problem. And you choose to become empty. So you just gently turn your mind back to whatever the course lesson is. Right now it's, I am not a body, I am free, I am still as God created me. And you just say that just to become empty of the story. And, of course, that's what the teachings of Inner Ramana is all about, too. It's all about saying the mantra, I am that I am, and using surrender to prompt you into action without having to think all the time, right, about what you're going to do. So, and here we see the same kind of thing showing up in NTI. So that's A Course in Miracles, the teachings of Inner Ramana, and NTI at least. They're all talking about gently turning your attention away from the ego and emptying your mind, becoming open and available. One thought that a lot of people use to become open is, I don't know. Because if you pay any attention to the ego, it thinks you know something. They're laughing here. It thinks you know it thinks you know something, right? Like if I think that Danielle should be able to get the dishwasher, you know, all the dishes in there in the most efficient way, I think I know something. I think it has to be that way. We need it that way to save water, or we need it that way so we don't have to empty the dishwasher as often or whatever. And I think I'm totally right about that. But the moment I choose to say, I don't know, well, then how do I even know, you know, right? How can I judge how dishes are put in the dishwasher if I don't know anything? You can only judge when you think you know something. So I don't know is a great mantra that works for a lot of people to just let go of any ego ranting that's going on in the mind, because there is no ego ranting without thinking you know something.
So yeah, Emma Fox wrote a little book called The Golden Key, and the golden key is just that very thing, that just you have a golden key, and anytime you think that something is not the way it should be, you just can take that golden key and turn it in my heart, and turn it in your mind, and turn that thought from thinking about what you're thinking to thinking about God.
Yeah.
So that's why, that's why on my business cards now I have a little golden key to remind me and remind people. You can turn that key anytime you want.
Yes.
You don't have to listen to that stuff.
You don't. You don't. All right, sentence 10. No, there is an effective method of practice, and there is a method that will seem to make the practice less useful to you. The effective method is to clear your thoughts by letting them pass upward. The less effective method is to press them back down into the place from which they seem to arise. So when I told you all the story last week or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, about the guilt that came up, what I was allowing to happen was I was allowing that guilt to just kind of rise up, and I was doing nothing about it while it was coming, except I was trusting that one little thought in my mind that said, this is healing. Like, the only thing I did was trust that thought. Other than that, I let my body feel as guilty as it wanted to feel. The stories were going in the mind, just whirling around. I didn't attempt to stop them. I listened to this thought, this is just healing, instead of focusing on them, right? I had another thought to listen to. But I wasn't trying to stop the storm. I was letting the storm just go and go and go. And the image that's always been helpful to me, although it's not a perfect image, but do you remember I Dream of Jeannie?
Yeah.
You remember how Jeannie would come out of the bottle of smoke? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I would see. I would see the guilt is like rising up in me and coming out as smoke, and eventually it would be all out, right? And then I would be free. So that's what it means by rise up. The way we experiencing pressing it down is when we have a thought, something like, oh, I'm not supposed to feel this way, right? Spiritual people aren't supposed to feel guilty, or spiritual people aren't supposed to feel angry, or spiritual people, and then we don't let it rise up. So instead, when you see anger or you see annoyance, instead of saying, oh, I'm not supposed to, right? This is bad. You go, oh, there's annoyance. And you just let it arise. Or, oh, there's anger. And you just let it rise. But the difference is, it's not the same as what psychologists used to teach, which is where, you know, if you were angry at someone, they'd have you scream at them and yell at them and maybe even hit them with pillows or, you know, a marshmallow bat and tell them how much you hate them and, you know, all of that and say, then you'll get it out. You don't actually get it out then because you're believing it. It may temporarily leave, like you feel better at the end of that rant, but then there's another day where it comes back. So the only way to really be free is to let it rise while doing nothing, while not believing it, not acting on it. Just, you know, I remember when fear was coming up. I went through about a year of intense fear coming up. And when fear was coming up, my primary practice then was just to go about my day. That felt like my guidance during the fear, just to go about my day. But I remember there's just so much fear coming up, and I'm just going about my day, and I can hear all this fear, and I'm just talking to someone as if the fear is not there. In fact, a really good example of that is the movie The Revolver, because in The Revolver, in the last two scenes, he's got all of this ego rage coming up, and the ego's just screaming and telling him what to do, right? You know, shoot him. He wants him to shoot his enemy. Shoot him, shoot him. And instead of listening to the ego, he kneels down, you know, at the foot of the bed of his enemy, and he says, you know, I'm sorry, you know, I've disrespected you or whatever. So he's allowing it. He's not trying to stop it, right? But he's also not listening to it. And that's a wonderful ability that we have. We don't have to listen to the ego. The ego can be as loud as it wants to be, and we actually still have another choice. We still have another choice. And so pressing it down is when you are trying to repress it. You're saying, I don't want to feel hatred. I don't want to feel anger. I don't want to feel fear. And you're trying to push it down. And if you think of the genie example, that's like pushing all that smoke back down in the bottle. And if you push that smoke back down in the bottle, what's going to happen? It's got to start trying to rise up again on another day, right?
And you're going to be about this big.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You're still the little self, right? Yeah, that's good. So the only way to, you know, to go through the purification process, as I call it, is to go ahead and let that stuff come up. Let that stuff rise, and you will feel it. You will hear it, right? But don't act with it, you know? Just don't act with it. The ego could be screaming, you know, tell her to shut up! Tell her to shut up! Just tell that woman to shut up! And you can sit there and listen anyway. Right? You don't have to tell her to shut up just because the ego's screaming at you to tell her to shut up. Right? Nor do you have to be afraid of the fact that the ego's screaming at you to tell her to shut up. You let it scream, and you just sit and be patient with the lady who's talking, and you listen to her. It's easy once you get the hang of it.
Also, there's a... For me, there's a physical component to that. So I know when I'm repressing things. I know when I'm pushing things down because I feel it in my body. And I feel tension. And what I notice is that I feel like it's like a tingling, like I'm on fire. There's a whole bunch of physical feelings that I used to just take for granted. That's the way I feel. I took it for granted that that's the way it was. And as I started noticing it and stopped pushing that down and stopped repressing it and just letting it come up and not judging it, not being afraid of it, and that took a while to be able to do that. But still going through some physical feeling about it, but actually finding that there's a lot of release and relief to the body from that. And one good way that I've found to do that is through breathing. Just you know, breathe in deep and then just breathe out like with a sigh. Just let it go. Just let it go. And it actually, you know, you may not think, well, you know, this is a psychological, mental thinking process, but it is buried in your body. It becomes a part of the way that you feel about you feel it all over. And you know, I realized, man, I was just my whole body. I was just working to keep my whole body in place, and it was so tense all the time. You would never know it until you start letting it go, and then you realize, oh, I can actually relax, and you actually do feel much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So, sentence 13. To let the thoughts pass upward, you must remember to trust in me. I have said that you are innocent. If you trust in me, you will be able to look at your thoughts and your emotions and let them pass upward, out of the shell, leaving the space within the shell empty. But if you do not trust me, you will fear your thoughts and you will repress them. In this way, the shell is not emptied, and there is pressure within the shell from where the feared thought is hidden, which Lynn just described. So, you know, when these thoughts come up that we may judge as horrible thoughts, you know, maybe I have thoughts coming up about how much I just hate everyone. I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of you, and I'm sick of you, and, you know, just, you know, all that stuff's in us until it comes out, right? So maybe that's the phase I'm going through now, is just being sick of everyone. And if I'm afraid of that, if I believe that's true about me, that I'm this horrible person who's sick of everyone, I'm never going to let these thoughts come up. Every time they start to arise, I'm going to push them down some way. I'm going to say, that's not true. That's not true. I like her, you know, right? I'm going to lie to myself. I'm going to do something. The only way that I'm going to allow that smoke to come up and be literally free of it is if I trust, you know, that I'm innocent. If I trust that these are not my real thoughts, these are just character thoughts. If I trust, there has to be something that I can trust that allows me to be detached from these thoughts enough that I can allow them to come up and leave the bottle, right? So that's really important. If there's no trust, I have to, maybe it's trusting this is the healing process, right? I mean, if there's nothing for me to trust that will allow me to just be and allow these thoughts to come up, I'm going to push them back down, and they're still going to be seemingly a part of me. That smoke is still going to be in my bottle, right? So trust is a key element. Verses 8 to 14. Remember this. Your truth is as it is and cannot be changed. If you seem to make a mistake in your attempts to empty your shell or allow your shell to be emptied, do not worry. It is only practice. More opportunities to practice will be given. Do not worry that the shell must be emptied or you are a sinner. For in truth, the shell does not exist. Therefore, it cannot be emptied or full in reality. Therefore, the condition of the shell has no effect on your worth. Boy, this was a paragraph that many, many times I've taught NTI and read this paragraph without present clarity in me to truly understand the paragraph. But I do have present clarity in me now, and I understand the paragraph, so it's kind of fun to finally understand what this paragraph is talking about. But the shell would be, again, the personality. You could call it the body, mind, personality. That is the shell. And if I think the shell is real, then I can actually go into judging, for example, an enlightened shell, a shell that has been through the purification process, as a good shell. And an unenlightened shell, a shell that has not yet been through the purification process, a shell that every time things start trying to come up, I'm too scared and I push it back down, as a bad shell, right? And then I start thinking, you know, every time this fear comes up or this guilt comes up, you know, I'm just not ready for it, I can't do it, and I always push it down, and that makes me bad. And if I believe that makes me bad, I'm actually just adding more smoke. What this is saying is, you know what? The personality isn't your reality either way. Purified or not purified, it's not who you are. Who you are or what you are is life, isness, beingness. When it comes right down to it, there's no difference between the reality of what you are and a blade of grass. It's that life force, some people use that word, that isness, that source itself is what you are. And that source has never become impure. Therefore, that source can never be purified. We're talking about an artificial personality, right? Now, it's helpful to go through this process with the artificial personality because it's all of that stuff in the artificial personality that's keeping you from realizing what you are. And when the artificial personality becomes purified, all that stuff's not in the way, then it's more open and you're able to realize what you are. But what you are is true always. What you are has never become impure. What you are has never needed to be purified. So the idea that you're guilty because you've not yet been able to go through the purification process is just believing you're the character. It's still being confused about what you are, right? So don't buy into that thought that, you know, there's something wrong with me, I'm bad because I can't sit and be with the guilt yet, or I can't sit and be with the fear yet, you know? It's not true. When you believe you're bad because you can't do that, you're just further buying into the ego story that you're the personality. Verses 15 to 24. You seem to be in the world and you experience yourself there. But I have already told you that you are not in the world. Therefore, nothing in the world can be important to who you are. The reason for emptying the shell is not to free you. You are free. The reason for emptying the shell is not to make you loved or lovable. You are love. The reason for emptying the shell is to let go of the points of experience that tell you that you are what you are not. So again, this is saying you already are perfect freedom itself. You already are perfect love itself. You're not purifying in order to become love or to become free. That's a false idea. But again, if we go back to NTI Romans chapter 2, what we learned there was that this whole experience of being humans in a world, this whole experience came from the desire to experience the truth differently than it is. That's the same as the desire to experience myself differently than it is. And so what was made were lots of, they're called points of experience here in NTI. You know, just points of experience, ideas, emotions, circumstances, they're points of experiences. These points of experiences are like, you know, scenes in a movie. And they're there to generate an experience. So we don't have to do anything but learn to see through these points of experience to what we really are. The only thing we need is to realize our truth. This is like what we were talking about with Roger at the end of last week. It was after we turned the recorder off, but we talked about, the last thing we talked about was the peace that passeth understanding. And the reason it's called the peace that passeth understanding is because everyone else who still believes their character, right, cannot understand how that thing could have just happened to you and you're at peace. It doesn't make sense to a person who believes they're a person. But when one has realized that they're the unaffected life that existed before this life and will continue to exist after this life, right? Anything can happen. And they are at peace because they realize that they're the unaffected. So the only thing we need to do is we need to see through the points of experience that we made in order to have this experience of being human. When you see through those points of experience, you realize that's all they are, just like a movie, they're just points of experience. You still have the experience of being human, but now you have it with realization or knowledge or enlightenment or true perception. These are all words that are used. so that you're no longer suffering the experience. Now you really are watching a movie, right? You're not caught up in it.
And what came to me when you were saying that is that we are already, it's not when I become enlightened or when we become enlightened, when we become awakened. We are already enlightened and awakened beings. That's what we are. That's our nature. That's who we are. But it's these points of experience that are the things that we're focusing on.
Yes.
Instead of our reality. And so, you know, I'm focusing on sitting in a chair with a room, in a room with, you know, 9 other people who appear to be separate, different beings than me. That's the point of experience. That's my experience. It isn't who I am, and it isn't what I am. And it isn't who you are or what you are. It's just an experience that we're having. And we're having it together.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so sentence 8. Each thought that seems to speak of unworthiness, guilt, or fear in the world. Each thought that seems to express the wish, what if it were different than it is? Each thought that seems to interpret anything in the world as if it were true. Each of these thoughts are made to give you the experience of experience that isn't true. So each thought must be handed out of the shell, that the shell may be emptied of all points of experience. Now, when this says that each thought must be handed out of the shell, all this really means is that in some way, using some spiritual practice, you just need to become detached from believing those thoughts, detached from being fully focused on them. So if a thought enters my mind that I'm unworthy because, you know, I didn't put on makeup today, you know, and now I'm unworthy. If that thought comes into the mind, if I believe that thought, I'm going to be too uncomfortable to sit around with 9 other people, right? But if that thought comes into the mind and I don't believe that thought, it has no effect whatsoever, right? And there are lots of practices for not believing thoughts. One of them, which is probably why it says hand it out of the shell, because this was my practice when NTI came, was giving the thought to the Holy Spirit. So I would see a thought come into the mind that would say something like, you know, I don't know, I can't even remember thoughts very well anymore, but something like, you know, you're supposed to wear makeup if you're going to be teaching a class. There's something wrong with you, you know. Yeah, you're not supposed to get rocks in your shoes and stop Danielle and Jamie from enjoying their walk. You know, there's something wrong with you, right? I did initially believe those thoughts, but then knowing that I didn't want to believe them, I would say, Holy Spirit, I give this thought to you. And in the beginning, I used to even imagine in my mind putting those thoughts in a little bitty box, wrapping it in wrapping paper, putting it a bow on it, and handing it to the Holy Spirit. I went through that much animation in my mind in the beginning to hand over a thought because I couldn't just hand it over. If I had just said the words, Holy Spirit, this is yours, I'd still have it. I needed to do something, you know? So I put it in a box and I wrapped it up and I handed it off. Eventually, I got to the point where I could just say, Holy Spirit, I give this thought to you. You know, because anything you practice, you get better at. And then eventually, I got to where I didn't even have to hand the thought over to Holy Spirit. I only had to know that I wasn't interested in it. So it kind of went through some phases there. And at the point when NTI was written, I was still at the point where I was handing it over. So that's why the words hand it are there, because that was my practice. If NTI had come now, it might not have those particular words, you know. So, but the point is to see through the thoughts, to not believe the thoughts. Sentence 10. When the points of experience are all released from the shell no longer senses experience, and another experience may come in to fill the shell. It is the second experience that points to truth. So when this says no longer senses experience, what it means is, you know, again, once upon a time, the thought comes into the mind, you know, there's something wrong with you, right? And it was felt. That wasn't just a thought. I felt it. At some point, though, with the practice of letting go with the thought can still come, there's something wrong with you. You don't feel it anymore. You don't sense it. It doesn't have any stickiness at all. And at that point, when you're no longer having the experiences that these thoughts were intended to make, the experience of fear, guilt, unworthiness, not being safe, I mean, victim, victimizer, we go on and on and on, betrayer, betrayed, right? When you are no longer feeling those experiences as the thoughts come in, that's when you're open and available to begin realizing who you really are. And you start experiencing what is called true perception. So a new way of experiencing enters when you're no longer believing the old points of experience and experiencing what they were made to experience. Right? And what's interesting about this is that you don't make yourself experience love. Or you don't make yourself experience joy. Or you don't make yourself experience peace. Or you don't make yourself experience trust. Or you don't make yourself experience feeling safe. These are the natural outcome of letting go of believing the points of experience. The thoughts that were made to give you something different. Right? So this is like A Course in Miracles. It says something about how, you know, love cannot be taught. But it says that our role is to search for and find all of the blocks or all of the obstacles to love's presence. This is the same thing. And those points of experience, again, I love the way NTI is referring to them there because it's being very clear that the purpose of this thought, you suck, you know, the purpose of this thought, you suck, is to give you an experience of feeling unworthy because you wanted an experience that was different than your truth. You know, it's like the purpose of going on a roller coaster is to feel that thrill, right? So these thoughts are just little points of experience. They're little things that were made and designed to give us an experience. This is like a 3D emotional physical movie, right?
Now everyone knows.
It's a 3D emotional physical movie, and those thoughts are your points of experience. That's all they are. They're the script that's coming in on your teleprompter. And as long as you believe them, you're kind of stuck in that 3D movie. But when you start letting go of believing them, pretty soon the movie's still running, but now you're not having that experience that's called suffering by the Buddhist tradition, and many other people borrow that word. You're not having that experience of suffering anymore, right? Because you're not buying into those thoughts. And that's when you become free to start to realize your natural beingness and the natural experiences that come with that. All right. Verse 25 to 28. Do not worry that you experience the world. Worry is a point of experience. Release it from the shell. So, you know, the spiritual ego can really screw us up. It's when it comes in, it starts telling you how you're supposed to be if you're a spiritual person. And so, you know, one of the ideas that the spiritual ego will throw at you is if you were a good spiritual person, you would maybe, some might even say, you would no longer even see a world. Like, there's something wrong with you just because you see a world. Or it might say, you know, if you were a really good spiritual person, you wouldn't experience guilt or you wouldn't experience annoyance anymore. You should be beyond this, right? And then you start worrying, you know, maybe I'm not as far along as I should be. Maybe I'm not as far along as she is and as she is. And it's saying, hey, you're being tricked right now. Look at your worry. Look at your worry. That worry is not natural to you. These thoughts right here telling you you're not as far along as you're supposed to be, that's a point of experience. You know, wake up. Let it go. And it takes practice before we start to really notice how many points of experience there are. There are so many that, you know, we may see through this one and this one, but in comes the, you know, I've been with this too long, I should be over this by now thought, and boy, we're into feeling it. And when we're into feeling it, we're right back in the 3D movie again, right? Experiencing what it was meant to experience. So we need to notice that my worry that I'm not as awake as I'm supposed to be, or my worry that I'll never wake up, or whatever else I might worry about, those ideas themselves are part of the movie. And let it go. Don't worry. Doesn't matter when you wake up. That's a great thought. Doesn't matter when. You know, that helps let go of that thought of worrying that you aren't awake enough. Do not feel guilty that your shell is not emptied. Guilt is a point of experience. Release it from the shell. This is the same type of idea I talked about it a moment ago. If everybody else around you is talking about how they're purifying of this and this and this, and you're sitting there going, shit, you know, I haven't purified of anything yet. You know, I'm still experiencing all the same crap. Right? I'm the loser here, you know. Then you start feeling guilty. Guess what? Right then, that's a point of experience, because guilt is not natural. So if even your belief that you're not purifying fast enough, that you're taking longer than everyone else, that is a point of experience. Any thought that is making you feel anything other than open, free, you know, joyous, peaceful, relaxed, at ease, you know, these are natural feelings. Any thought that's making you feel something other than that, even if it has spiritual language around it, is a point of experience. It's a part of the 3D movie, right? So it's more like, instead of listening to the stories, because the stories will trick you, instead of judging whether a story is a story of the world or a spiritual story I should be listening to, like I'm not purifying fast enough, start noticing how you feel. If what's going on in your head is making you feel anything but open and at ease and relaxed and at peace and, you know, accepting and all that, it is a point of experience. Because it's making you feel something other than what is natural. Therefore, it has to be a point of experience.
And also, if you imagine that someone else is experiencing something that you're not, like, I imagine Regina is way far down the road of being enlightened and I'm just running, trying to catch up. That doesn't bring about a great love of Regina from me. That makes me start thinking, you know, why didn't she wait for me? Why didn't God give me as good a stuff as he gave her? Why didn't, what's wrong with me? I must be faulty. For me, I just start thinking a lot of thoughts that are absolutely these points of experience, yeah, that are, if you don't watch it, which most of the time I don't, you start becoming less than, you start becoming
yes,
angry, you start feeling like you've been left out, you start feeling like you're not getting there. And the message that comes very clearly to me is that there is no one ahead of me on that road. We're all in the same place. We're all here in the same place, or else we wouldn't be here in the same place. And so there's no one, you know, farther down the road than us, and there's no one behind us either. And there's no competition going on here, and there's no need to feel like you've been left out or desire to attack someone, which basically that's what it is an attack on someone if you're thinking that somehow or the other God gave them something they didn't give you. And that doesn't make you love that person. And for me, the most important thing is, am I feeling love for whatever, that person, that situation, that being? And if I'm not, that's where I know that I'm experiencing something that's not what I want.
I guess one of the administrations had a policy a while back, No Child Left Behind. And Bruce Arles might get around with that occasionally. It's the same thing. No son of God will be left behind.
That's right.
God left behind. That's
right. Okay, let's see. Starting with sentence 7. Do not be sad that you do not know the second experience that comes. Wishing is the cause of all points of experience. Release wishing and many points of experience will leave the shell with it. So again, if I start wishing I was enlightened, right? It's saying, remember, wishing's what got you into this in the first place, right? You were purely yourself and you wished for an experience that was different than truth. You know, wishing is the cause of everything. So let go of wishing. And I remember when I first started letting go of wishing, I remember the day I was in Walmart and I was pushing a shopping cart and I had one of those wheels that just went, and it was like really hard to push the cart. And I was pissed off at the shopping cart, you know, and wishing I had a different cart. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks how unhappy I was with a shopping cart because I wished for it to be different. I mean, I just, bam. And that's when I started noticing that from that day on, I started noticing at that point, like everything my eyes landed on, I was wishing it would be different. I wish the day wasn't so hot. I wish the table didn't have dust on it. I wish my daughter would be more quiet. I wish, and like at that point in my life, I spent my whole day wishing everything and everyone was different than it was. No wonder I was suffering.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, actually, now I'm okay with it. I did pause because I knew that the recording won't be able to hear me as well, but I'm not wishing. Yeah. But you know, you are. But that even proves a point. I really wasn't wishing. I knew to pause for a second. When she pulled out of her purse, it got a little louder. I thought, oh, they're not going to be able to hear me. I'll just pause for a second. But I wasn't wishing that it wasn't ringing. I wasn't wishing Lynn had thought to turn off her phone or anything like that. So that wishing can die, right? It can just die when you start noticing it and seeing it and realizing this is the cause of everything. And start noticing every time you're wishing anything was different. Your body, your spouse, the weather, the shopping cart. You can't wish for something to be different than it is and be totally at peace, relaxed, joyous, acceptance. It's impossible. There may be degrees of your annoyance. This wish may be a minor annoyance and that wish may be major rage, but they're all points of experience. They're all not natural, right? They're equally not natural. So start paying attention to every time you say, I wish, you know, that thing, that piece of orange or whatever that is wasn't on the floor. I wish this carpet was perfect. Oh. There we go. Now I'm at peace. You know, until somebody spills, until Danielle spills her drink, then I'm not at peace anymore. Right? So watch the wishing, because the wishing is actually the core, the cause of all points of experience. We learned this in NTI Romans, but this is kind of a review that one of the best spiritual practices there are is acceptance of whatever is. And when we were in NTI Romans, it gave us a little sentence that we could say to help us practice acceptance. And that sentence was, it is what it is. It's hot today. It is what it is. Right? It hasn't rained in a long time. It is what it is. You know, my spouse snores loudly. It is what it is. And that doesn't mean you can't get up and go sleep in the guest room, but the annoyance isn't there. See, some people also think acceptance means you can't change it. And I usually use a pretty normal example when showing them that they can. And you've probably used them with you guys before. This will probably be a review. But when you have to pee, don't you accept that you have to pee and then go to the bathroom? You're allowed to change it. You don't have to sit there till your bladder bursts. It's not judgment to go pee. You know what I mean? When you're hungry, can't you just eat? So you can accept something and take the necessary action too. We do it all of the time. So don't let the ego guilt you into thinking that if you're trying to take a necessary action, that means you don't accept it. If there's a judgment there, be honest about it, right? But it is absolutely possible to accept that your shopping cart is hard to push and in absolute peace go back and get another shopping cart. Right? There's nothing wrong with that. Just like there's nothing wrong with peeing when you have to pee. Okay? The ego will try and guilt you up. Yes. Okay.
A goofy remark that actually that the thing about wishing keeps you in a perpetual state of disharmony. There's a much greater, I think actually you settle into your heart when you just accept things. But if you're wishing for it to be different, there's just a feeling of being
in resistance.
Yeah, in resistance and yeah. Fighting too. It's very
uncomfortable. Yeah, you're at war with your situation. You know, you're at war with your situation. So, yeah. Let's see. Seven, is that where we're at? No, we just did seven. So It is. What time is it? I forgot to turn that light on.
Oh, I shut the light off.
Oh, you did. I do that so I can see the clock.
Okay, it's 8:06.
Well, we have four more paragraphs. Do you guys want to stop or finish the four paragraphs? I'll leave it up to you.
Finish?
We have votes for finishing. Okay, so 29 to 31. Remember that the shell is not real. So whatever experience you seem to experience within the shell is not real either. Therefore, be not attached to the experience you experience or the one you wish to experience. Be free instead to realize there is no shell. And again, the shell would be the body, mind, personality. Now, we do get ideas that there are body, mind, personalities that are better than others. You know, and a couple of examples, you guys know Andy Taylor from the old Andy Griffith show, Sheriff Andy. You know, Sheriff Andy was a good character, right? Everybody kind of thought, nobody thought of Sheriff Andy as bad, did you? He was good. We all knew he was good. Now, do you guys know Hannibal Lecter from Silence of the Lambs? Now, he's bad, right? Or even if we might want to get worse, the other guy, the one that was skinning the women and making a skin suit, he was really bad. Even Hannibal was better than him. Remember that really, really bad guy?
He was really bad.
Okay, Andy Taylor, really good. The guy who was skinning the women in Silence of the Lambs, really bad. Equally characters. Do you see that? Equally unreal. Equally made up. That's what this is telling us here right now. This is saying, remember, there is no shell. You know, if you happen to be a character who's a doctor and saves lives all the time, or you happen to be a character that has some kind of a mental illness and acts on that mental illness and hurts people all the time, the doctor is not better than the mentally ill. They're equally characters. And so one mistake that we make, if we happen to be one of those characters that seems to be, you know, the bad character, maybe we're the alcoholic character who, you know, has 20 kids and doesn't pay child support on any of them, right? We think that I'm really bad because I'm this character. And that's a mistake that, you know, we need to learn to let go of because I'm not the character. But the opposite mistake is I'm really good. You know, I'm the doctor that saves lives all the time. Everybody thinks I'm the greatest surgeon in the world. Not true. Not true. That's not who I am. So we want to let go of the mistake of thinking there are good characters and bad characters. There are only unreal characters. You know, I used to have Debbie live with me who, again, her experience had been that she was a thief, a professional thief. And she had a lot of guilt about the fact that she had been a thief. And she had stolen a lot of things. And she even came to say in her mind, this is how she saw it, not only did she steal things, but she came to see it later as, I stole things that were precious to people. You know, I'm really bad. I stole precious things from people, right? And, you know, I told her, I said, that's just the character. You're the character of the thief, and you did a great job. You know, we have thief characters. We have police characters. We have, you know, all these characters. You just played a role because you didn't know any better, and you did a great job. You were a great thief. You know, you get an Academy Award, right? There are no real characters. There are only unreal characters. Good characters, bad characters, equally unreal. Andy Taylor, the guy who skinned the women in Silence of the Lambs, both characters.
And the thing that goes along with that is if there weren't thief characters, there wouldn't be victim characters.
Or cop characters.
Or cop characters, or judge characters, or jail characters.
Yeah.
So you have to look at everything, every role that everyone is playing, and recognize that they would have the experience or the opportunity to dance that particular dance if it weren't for someone else who's making up their part of the story.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it. It's like we're all just playing the, it's all story. And if I'm not being who I am in the story, then it's going to break the whole story. And that's eventually what's going to happen, is that when I realize I'm not this character, I'm not this body, I'm not this person that I think I am, that the story is just going to start falling.
That's right, it does. That's exactly what happens. It starts breaking the story. And that's what I experienced with my daughter Jasmine, is when I stopped playing with her, like she would be disrespectful, then I would act disrespected, And then I would, you know, I would punish her in some way for disrespecting her mother. When I quit playing that game, when I quit playing my role as the disrespected mother, her role as the disrespecting child fell away. Because she couldn't play it without a disrespected mother to play the other side of the role. So things just start falling away when you don't play your role. When you just start being, you know. So, verses 32 to 35. Remembering there is no shell and there is no experience that is true experience will free you from attachment to points of experience. When you are freed from attachments, you will release them more easily, and you will travel this path of remembrance more swiftly with me. Remember to stay focused on your own guidance within the world. Your guidance leads you, based on your willingness, to the circumstances that will help you to empty your shell. So again, you have these ego thoughts coming into the mind, which are your character script. It's for your character. Right now, your character script is telling you, you know, tell that woman to shut up. Just tell her to shut up, right? And if you play that and you tell that woman to shut up, you're playing your character. But at the same time, there's actually another option. We call this other option Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit might be just saying, you know, okay, breathe. Just be patient, you know. Tune into what she's saying. Listen to her more carefully. When you listen to that, you're not playing your character. Then you're not playing your character. You may still have the experience of being a human in a world, but you're not playing your character. Because your character was the one that was supposed to scream and tell the woman to shut up. That was the line in the film. And you didn't play it. And when you don't play your line in the film, everything has to start to change. It can't just run the way it was going to run, as if you played that line. So learn to tune in to your intuitive guidance. And remember, that's your opportunity not to play your role. It's giving you another choice, right? And learn to listen to and take those choices. And everything is going to start changing. As she says, the script is going to start falling apart. You know, it can't happen the way it was going to happen if you didn't play your role. When you play your role, you're holding the entire script up. When you don't play your role, you're not holding the entire script up. Right? So the last paragraph then, verses 39 to 40. Following guidance and staying with trust now is the best way to empty your shell. Give no thought or concern to emptying it. Because remember, if you're worried about emptying your shell, that's another point of experience, right? When you are called to notice the thoughts in your mind, notice them and let them go right then. When you do not notice the thoughts in your mind, be happy in those times also. For always the truth is true, so always there is cause for happiness. Recently, I've noticed I've been, you know, some people would call this backsliding, but I don't believe in backsliding, so I don't call it that. But lately, I've noticed the stories were a little louder in my mind again. The other day, I went to Best Buy, and I got a little annoyed with the geeks who weren't, you know, doing exactly what I wanted them to do. The geek squad, yeah. But there's still a difference in me in that once upon a time, if I had been listening to stories more, if I got annoyed again when I haven't been annoyed in 6 months, there would have been a heavy judgment that came down. Now, there was just a noticing of that, right? And so that's what this is saying. Be happy then also. Don't see yourself as failing because you let the idea in, I want the geeks to do it just like this, and they're standing there telling you that they can't, and now you're disappointed and annoyed, right? Don't get upset with you. Get upset with yourself, because if you get upset with yourself, you're actually just inviting another point of experience. So just say, ah, I forgot. I had wished it was different. I got annoyed. And you actually let it go much faster, and you're back out of it and back into joy. So when you forget, and you totally listen to ego, and you totally play your role, and then you notice, just smile at that too. Because if you judge it, you're just playing your role more. Right? So that is the end of this particular chapter. Now, we need an assignment. We do need an assignment. So, wishing, that's a good one. Why don't we notice this week when we're wishing that something was different? It could be anything. And if you're able to hand that thought over or let go of that thought, that's great too. But for the most part, just start noticing when you're wishing. And also, when you notice that you're wishing, stop and notice how you're feeling emotionally and be honest with yourself. Are you in perfect joy and peace right now? And just start noticing what wishing actually does. Again, it may be a minor annoyance or it may be a major hatred, but either way, it's not your natural self. So notice what wishing is doing whenever you wish something was different, okay? All right, thank you for the assignment, Dave.
Thank you.